ice. The referee is reaching into their pocket, John. What could it be? What's it going to be? Ooh, it's a red card. That can only mean one thing. It's time for the Get Off My Pitch podcast. My name is Eric Paisley, and with me tonight is...
John Brennig.
Tonight's episode, John and I are going to be talking about our big back-to-back victories in Louis City and in the Colorado South Park Rapids Club to Foot and Weed. We're going to talk about our gut check, hardest working player for each of the matches, who our MVP is. I think that one's going to be a super easy one. Comfortable truths. Of course, we're going to tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch. Preview of next match, and John, it is good to see you, my friend. It was quite a weekend of sports.
It was good. It was entertaining, man.
How much soccer did you physically watch this weekend?
I watched our game, but I also watched a bunch of highlights, including Montreal whipping up on Cincy. Always fun. The Galaxy super sub with the two goals to assist. That was some incredible stuff. Anyway, there was lots of interesting, just highlight worthy games all over the place. So
yeah, I watched
I watched most of it in highlight, but it was good.
Yeah. I watched the Dallas. I sat down and watched most of the Dallas match. Had some thoughts on that. I watched the LA Galaxy. I watched a good chunk of the LA Galaxy match. And of course I watched the international matches. So yeah, I watched a lot of soccer over this weekend. We're broadcasting on this on Memorial Day. We do want to, you know, take a moment to remember all the men and women who have sacrificed the ultimate sacrifice for our country. And also, John, want to recognize, what are we drinking tonight, my friend?
I'm drinking water because my day is not done after this. Still have much more packing and stuff to go, so I got to keep going strong.
So I'm rocking the Hurricane with not one, but two rums, because one rums for winners, and I've got two different types of rums in here for each of the wins. See what I did there?
Very nice.
Yeah, very, very nice. All right, well, let's talk about those wins. So first up is Lou City. Going into this Open Cup match, what was your gut telling you when we came into this match?
Well, it's funny you should say that. I happened to re-listen to last week's podcast on Wednesday morning just because it took me a while to get to it. And it was funny. Do you know what we talked about? You know what we previewed the game? Mm-mm. We both said 3-1. Not accurate. It was 2-1. But we both said it was going to be a close game. We would likely play a highly rotated squad. Mm-hmm. It would be 1-1 at the half. And that at some point we would put on the ringers and shut it down. That was the script, and lo and behold, Gary followed our script. I don't know if you paid him extra, whatever it was, but...
Yeah, I dipped into a couple of the other podcasts. I think that everyone who knows this club well, and there are a lot of great podcasters who do, kind of had that feeling that we were going to play close until things got... unless things got out of hand, or we just wanted to put them to bed, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I mean... Lou City is probably the best example, at least over the past 5 or 6 years, of what the USL has to offer in consistency. And I mean, they've won a few championships. This is not a dog on them. They are just second tier. I mean, this is what happens when the Premiership plays the Championship. The Premier League they're just better. So it's kind of what we expected, that we could play a rotated squad and, you know, survive until the point we needed to, or maybe that would be enough. And that's what we saw, is that we played that rotated squad, kept the tie, kept a close game, and then did what we need to get the victory. So I think it was a good plan and it worked. But I will say it was interesting to see. I feel like there was a lot of things to be gleaned from that game and how it went down, which we'll probably talk more about as we go.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that. My gut going into it was we were going to win. I really didn't have any qualms about us winning, as I think I mentioned in our last podcast. I did know that Louis City was going to come out to play. They were going to come out to play, and they did. I mean, hats off to them. Their fans came out. That stadium was great. Although the pitch, I think for old time's sake, they ruined that pitch on purpose. Just for old time's sake. Like I said, it looked like a pack of dogs had peed all over it, and it was just garbage. And I did find out from Gary in the post game that they had a couple of concerts there. So the pitch was torn up by not non-soccer or non-sports related things. Mm-hmm. So. obviously. That's a wonderful stadium. I wish I could have gone. I would have liked to experience it. All the feedback I got from different inside sources and the roadies, Stephen Robinson, said it was a great, it's great. It's, you know, Lou City is just, I wish nothing good. I wish nothing but good things for them. It was great to, it was great to renew that old rivalry because of all of our old USL rivals. I love them the best. That was my first ever road game that I went to. Had a great time. All the fans there, the supporters, the ruckus and all the, those, who that, no, no, no. What do they call, what's the supporter group up there? The, they have some sort of racing. Yeah, they have some sort of horse racing thing. Like they were just, they were really good. Had a good time, and yeah. So I wish nothing good for, but good things for them. They score first off a just a beautiful piece of play.
Oh, it's a great play.
It was a great play. Thoughts on? I'm going to pull up the stats here. Yeah, thoughts on Ownby? Is he USL caliber, or does he deserve a look higher tier?
Well, I will say he was very present. The takeaway, and I think I mentioned this to you, like I texted you during the game, was Louisville came out as a coherent, well-oiled machine. These 11 players had started and played together. They knew what they were doing. They were out there on course, you know, trying to win the game and go for it. We were a bit disjointed, and you could see, like, I saw at times when players, when Louisville players tried to do like a one-on-one and kind of ran into our defenders and stalled. You know, it seemed like when you got them isolated, when you had some of that, you could tell that we had more talented players. We have MLS quality players. They had some people who are on the borderline, but the reason I think it took us that, you know, the game went the way it did, and it took us so long until we put on our best players to win it, is that they played as a well-oiled machine. We had a lineup that hadn't quite gelled together, hadn't played together. We were tinkering with stuff. It was rotated, so it definitely looked, it made them look good because, again, they showed up, but it wasn't, luckily it wasn't a problem. I mean, it could have been if they had done really well, but that's what I saw. I don't know. Ownby looked great. He was all over the place. He was leading the possession of the attack. The one thing that kind of impressed me about it, it was a very attacking midfielder. You know, we've seen Dax, Godoy, Davis, and Anungwell are all good midfielders, but they tend to be more defensive minded. Godoy would be the most offensive. That sounds like he's offending you. The player with the most attacking prowess and capability for
runs.
The most part.
Yeah, he'll make
yes,
a run.
Yes, he will. But even then, I don't know that you would consider him an attacking midfielder. You know, he tends to be more defensive minded. So it was interesting to see someone like that and, you know, recognize that. And I'm like, man, it'd be cool if we had one of those for sometimes. But I don't know.
Yeah. And then like 400 seconds later, Loba scores. And I want to talk a little bit about this later. But yeah, that was it. Well, I think that was super needed. I feel like that was almost an expectation. What was your thoughts on that?
I agree. I think we needed to see him do something in this because, again, it is against a lower tier opponent. So the defenders aren't going to be quite as good, aren't going to be quite as sharp. And I mean, someone who's paid that kind of money and has that kind of, you know, pedigree should be able to score against them. So he did. And he was in the right place at the right time, did exactly what he needed to. So I think that was good. It would have been a very interesting holding back story if he hadn't done anything that game.
I thought he played very well. I thought he played brightly throughout the first half. I thought that his goal was well deserved. And we're going to talk about this later. Hockenson, there's something there. There's something there now.
Yeah. I guess my thing is I almost wish we had seen more out of Loba, but I do feel like he and Zubac they've played together a couple times, and I feel like they don't mesh very well. Zubac played great at the end of the first good Lord, I can't even think, against Atlanta in the Open Cup match. You know what I mean? But that was a different level. I feel like he and Loba they just don't jive. And I think that stood out, that they were just off this. They weren't quite on the same page the whole time, which is why I don't think that went even better. But Loba's effort by himself was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's well said. And of course, we ended up the match with a just one of the prettiest and most underrated shots that I've seen Hani take from a really tough angle and just boom, like really just buries that ball.
Yeah.
Classic Hani.
Yes.
So hardest working player for this match. I'm going to give it to our back line, just all three of the back line players. They, you know, it's tough to come in there without a lot of, like you said, gelling and then really coming through and really holding things down. OMB's goal was just really good. They outworked us, and they got it. Hats off to them. It was a well-earned goal. So my hardest working were all, for all three, the back line. I thought they did very well.
And I would like to mention in particular, Dan Lovett's playing on the right side for this game. So playing out of his normal position and still doing good work. So especially mad props to him if you're calling out the back line. So I'm adding to yours somehow. I don't know. But I'm going to give mine to Luke because I think you could argue, I think, the MVP thing. But honestly, I think we'll talk about it in a minute who I'll give it to. But I think Luke put in a great shift, did a lot of work, was tracking back. I feel like that game, and then obviously the next one we're going to talk about in Colorado, he's shown some evolution. Mm-hmm. But he is definitely – he is up there with Muil on that right-hand side where those boys put in work and are running constantly. So he's definitely hardest working. And to be up there and to put that service was top notch. So I'm going to give it to Luke as just a recognition of everything he did, but especially setting up that Ake Lobo goal.
Yeah. Yeah. In particular, that goal was, it looked training ground-esque. It looked like something that had been worked on. So yeah, again, I don't want to bury the lead because I also thought the coach, that the game plan for that game was also really good. MVP, do you have any ideas around MVP? Who you think should go to? Or
what happens when you score, when you sub and you score a goal in like 9 minutes and you just go on?
You do what Eric loves a super sub to do. Like when you're a sub and you come on, what's Eric want to do? I want to see you make a difference in the game.
Yeah. So who did that?
That was Hani Mukhtar, according to my score sheet.
Oh, yes, yes, that's right. Hani far and away did it. He did a great job. He did exactly what we expect from him and an amazing shot. Like I think we both, it's unanimous. You got to give it to him. Though I would say, speaking of subs, on the 69th minute, Hockenson was subbed out for Buona, who did get the assist on that goal. So also a little recognition for Buona. Handwala has played more minutes in the past couple weeks and has started to contribute. And I like what I'm seeing out of him. And I think that he could possibly find a role depending on the lineups and how Gary wants to tinker with things. He could find a more prominent role going forward because he's played some good soccer.
Yeah. I think the message that we lack depth was received. I think.
Yeah. We talked about it a couple weeks ago and I told you what I want to see with the first Open Cup game in Atlanta was what is our depth? What does it look like now that we're 3 weeks later, come full circle in what, 6 matches since then?
Yeah.
I feel much more comfortable about this team from top to bottom. Now, I agree with what I think Farma was saying. At the forwards, there's definitely more of a drop-off between CJ and Hani and then everyone else, Ake, Zubak, Hawkins, whoever you put up in the forward area. There's definitely a little more skill gap there. But in the midfield and the back, it's much less noticeable. But I feel better about everything after we've come through this run of games.
Yeah, so let's talk about, we moved on to Colorado and just a few days later, going down to South Park and have ourselves a time. And we did have a good time because we whooped them.
Ooh, did
and
we?
We whooped them good. That's the kind of performance I expected to see against a Salt Lake. But we, you know what I'm saying? Like, just go in there and just take over. Because it was clear from the whistle, we owned them. Like, I don't know what energy drink they put in the team water or whatever, like we came out with high energy somehow. I don't know, maybe that rotation worked, but we came up really bright going into that game. Though I felt really good. I felt like we were going to do well. I know that I had predicted a 1-1 draw. I think I did, right? I think I had predicted a 1-1
draw. I think we
draw.
Both agreed on the 1-1. Yeah. And I actually texted you, I think, Thursday. I was like, you know what? Or maybe it was Friday. I was like, you know.
No, Friday you did,
I know
yeah.
We both said it. Yeah, I said, I know we both said a draw, but I was like, you know what? Seeing as little as we used Hani and CJ, knowing they're going to be full rested, I think we have a much better chance than we thought. Because I think we were worried about legs and stuff. But having them both play 15 minutes of soccer on Wednesday, I had revised that. And I was like, I don't know. I feel a lot more confident going into this. And turns out we were ready.
Yeah. And it also turns out that, as I have said before, Colorado is a team I cannot figure out.
No.
On paper, they've got a Premier League guy in Trusty. They've got a great mid. Like, Rubio is a good player. Acosta. Akuabar, these are good players, and how we just own them in the first 30 minutes. If I were a Colorado fan, I'm not, but if I were, I'd be like, what happened? Because it, it broke down at every – it looked like a Houston – like, I guess every team has that kind of Houston-level effort. But we made them pay. We made them pay dearly for mistakes.
Yeah.
So we go up early.
then we go up some more.
Yeah, yeah. We went up early. And, you know, CJ's goal was, you know – set up by Zimmerman, and that was it was the kind of thing that where, like Gary said, we were asking questions of them. We were asking, I love how Gary phrases it, we were asking questions of their backline, and they came up short, right? They just were not, they were not ready for that type of deep passing. And and then Mukhtar, you know, back to back goals. It's almost like we had found some sort of like rhythm 17 minutes into the match, and then just exploited them. What did you think?
I thought it was great. I mean, it was interesting because the CJ goal was very much a team effort. Cross bounces around, you know, headed back, Walker hits, which, by the way, expected goal gave Walker a 50% chance on that, 50% chance that his was go in, and then, you know, but it didn't, but bounced right to CJ, who was there to poach it.
Exactly
what he does. And then Hani's turn an absurd shot, and then followed by
That on repeat.
Followed by another beautiful Hockenson assist to like the only spot it could have been, and Hani was just floated that in and headed, did exactly what you expected. That's to me, that's a goal that shows we're firing, because I feel like that's the stuff that happened the first time we played RSL, when we played in some of those matches, and Hani would have headed that right to the goalie. He didn't. He headed it back over. He had no chance. You know what I mean? I feel like that's the stuff that when we're firing, that works. We see it and it goes in. And when we're not, Hani does that same play and just heads it straight to the goalie. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the difference we see here, where it's like, no, that was 100% confident he was going in because he's got his touch back, you know?
Well, like you texted, are we back? I mean, the goal, the second goal came from Lovett's assist, and the other goal came from Hockenson. So literally left and right.
Yep.
You know, I don't even know how to – I don't know – I don't think you could draw it up better than that. So no.
It was kind of a well balanced, a chaos in the box situation, set up from the left, Hani, it's open field, and another, you know, a beautiful, I guess it's a cross, but it was a very short cross and very lobbed in there from Hockenson.
It was more of a European style cross than it was like a MLS from all the way in the corner.
Yeah, it wasn't our classic. Yeah. But yeah, it was great.
All right, so in Rubio, you're just not going to keep a player that good off the score sheet. That set piece goal was, my goodness, that was good.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it was. And again, it's we like clean sheets, but in the end, we had the points. It came in it came late in the game. It is what it is. You know what I mean? It's
again, you're just Rubio was on fire after he'd. I guess I feel like he'd gotten a little bit humiliated in that first 15 or first 30, and was just on a vengeance streak. All right, so hardest working for me on this one, I'm going to give it to Luke Hockenson. I feel like he covered the most ground physically in this game, was rewarded with a lot of playing time, and deserved it. You know, it kind of. And this is sort of a semi-uncomfortable truth. Is he an upgrade from Leal? Because he's starting to look like he is.
I don't know. We'll have to discuss that in the actual segment. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Right, I think that's fair enough.
I don't.
I'm just asking that question.
Yeah, it honestly, to me, it's hard to say. I feel like we need more time, especially because in this one. Here's the thing, though. In this one, again, we didn't have the full lineup because Wheel was out due to suspension. So we had Eric Miller on his side. So the question is, was Hockenson doing more coverage? I don't know. I'm just saying, to me, that's a harder question to ask, because if you assume that Alex is the tagged in starter, you know, wing back on that side, he and Luke have played well together. But I feel like Alex and Liel have a lot more history together and probably synergize. Ugh, I hate using that word. But, you know. They probably work better together, but Miller and Hockenson did think. Oh, and by the way, can we not acknowledge that Miller did get a shot? I don't think it counts as on goal because it was too high, but he did get a shot off in this game. I just saying,
the young man
Eric Miller got a shot, guys. That's how you know we're winning.
When Eric Miller's taking chances on goal, you know you're living right. All right. So, who was your hardest working?
Sorry. I'm going to give it to Onungwa because obviously it's hard to give him MVP because, you know, we saw what Hani did, right? But I watched this game and the energy, we've talked about how he's improved his energy, his press. I honestly think that he and Davis were the key to this game because of their high energy and their press. I don't know that this would have gone as well if Godoy or Dax was in that position with Davis.
Yeah.
I think that Anungwa's youth, his energy, his work rate made this work and made this lineup click the way it did at the beginning. I know we talked about, we kind of had last year, it was Godoy and Dax, and then Anungwa was the, you know, the second tier choice. I don't know that I have a difference between them. I think it's, you know, as you like, or the lineup that Gary sees of more pressing, less passing, more pass, you know what I mean? Like, what does he want to do? I think they're all at the same level now. I'm comfortable seeing, oh yeah, Nungwa and Davis are starting. Great. Let's go for it. I think this is going to be a great game. You know what I mean? Like, there, to me, there's no, his effort and his play has elevated to the point that I am fully comfortable with him and Davis starting a game and not being like, oh, we're really not starting Godoy. Like, I'm not asking that question anymore. And so that's why I got to give it to him, because I'm impressed.
That's a great, yeah, that's a great call out. I like that. MVP, gee, who do you, do you think it could possibly be?
The man who can shoot from any angle. So we've given the MVP for both these games. Look at the goals. I looked when you saw the goal line shot from Louisville. There was like a foot between the post, like if you looked at the tunnel from where he shot it was like a foot wide between the goalie and the goalpost, and he fitted in that window. This fitting it upper 90, you know, right above the goalie's head in that short thing. Like, I mean, those were some sick shots. Like, this is what I talked about a couple minutes ago. This is what Hani is when he's feeling it. He sees it. He knows he can hit that tiny window. That's all he needs. It's like we talked about with the Atlanta game. Remember the two goals they got against us in the Open Cup? That one that was Almeida turned and shot that ridiculous shot with a small window. Hani's in that mode now. Yeah. It was a beautiful shot. Hani's in that mode now. You give him a tiny window, that's all he needs. It's not, okay, he's got to be close. He's got to, you know, that he is back where I feel like he knows it. He's on, he's got his shot and he knows where to place it, how to place it, and he's doing it every time.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of short windows, we're going to take a quick break. You like that? You like that? So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some uncomfortable truths and who or what needs to get off our pitch. I've got a good one. I've got a good one. And it's a hometown one. So stay with us. All right, we are back. All right, John, time to talk about some uncomfortable truths that need to be spoken. I've already touched on it, but I actually want to kind of dive into the Open Cup itself. I feel like one of the uncomfortable truths is that the Open Cup has become more of a burden than a prestige tournament to be in for MLS teams. Now, I can tell you we've been on both sides of this equation, if you were. Right. We in the USL, you look forward to the Open Cup games because it's your chance to knock an MLS team off the perch. Right. As we did against Colorado, if you remember. Right. Oh, that was such a good. Oh,
the only other time we played them as a franchise.
That's true. Yeah. As a franchise. Carter Moles getting under. Oh, my God. There were so many things that went on in that game. It is stuck in my memory. I don't want to go down amnesia lane, but yeah, for a USL side, like, you know, you could tell Louisville was ready. They were chomping at the bit to test themselves against an MLS team. Even if it's a rotated team, doesn't matter. Like you said, these are still much better players. So you want to test yourself as an athlete against them. But unfortunately, the Open Cup just doesn't have the same priority as like the FA Cup does in the UK, and, you know, and I maybe that's not a fair comparison. I don't know if it is or isn't, but, you know, I followed, you know, like I said, I do follow European soccer, particularly the Premier League and Championship. I don't talk about it, but it does seem like the FA Cup over there, their sort of Open Cup, has a lot more prestige to it, and teams, they do, you know, it is burdensome to rotate, but they seem to take it a little more seriously. I just don't know that the MLS side has that same focus. And I really kind of want to highlight the fact that I'm really glad that Gary seems to seriously, you know, in the lineup that he put out against Atlanta, he seriously wants to kind of compete for this hardware. And, you know, I think this is great. I mean, I'm glad we are, but I wish the league as a whole would, you know, be more invested in it. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the argument could be made for all non-MLS competitions, because, I mean, you saw with the CCL, it took till now for Seattle to finally win it.
Yeah.
Partly because Seattle's one of the deepest, or at least has the most parity within their squad from top to bottom with the rotate players that they can pull that off. But I mean, you saw they sacrificed the MLS. I mean, they had like five losses in that span, which is, you know, a season's worth usually. But I do feel like the MLS as a whole doesn't prioritize a lot of this and goes for it. And I mean, I enjoy it. I love seeing what Omaha just did. They beat Minnesota and Chicago, and they're on to the next round. Sacramento beat San Jose, which was great because San Jose had the sign trolling Sacramento because, you know, they're like, oh, we're going to MLS. Never mind. But guess what? You still got beat by them. So that's great. The irony there is just delicious.
Yeah. So good.
I do agree. It feels like the MLS teams don't necessarily, some do, some don't. I think it depends. It probably depends on the organization, you know, whether they want to win the hardware or not. Like Atlanta definitely care. They care when they came here. They've won it before. Their fans won't shut up about the time they won it before. But I think it depends. I think if you went up to a casual fan of any franchise, I have a feeling they'd be like, yeah, Open Cup's cool, but I'd rather win MLS. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just, I feel like it's the American thing of we put all the emphasis on that, which is a bummer because the Open Cup goes back so far. It has such tradition. I do wish it was, I don't know, more advertised, more touted, more brought up between those. But, you know, it's not an easy problem to solve. But again, I feel like that also extends to the CCL because people are like, who cares if you can beat, you know, Liga MX teams? Just win the MLS thing. You know what I mean? But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you go to casual fans, they're not going to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like it's one of those, maybe it's a 50-50 chance you go up to a fan like, I don't care about the CCL, or I do care about it. Or, well, I care about it because my team is going to be in it next year. Mm. Oh, is my team in that? Nah, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there's just not, I don't know. Everyone's just so focused on the MLS thing. So I feel like it's kind of a widespread issue. So.
Yeah, this is the final thing I'll say. I like all those points. I think this is the final thing I'll say about it. You know, you can tell that since these games are on Wednesdays and the final is going to be on Wednesday, you can see that generally it's just not as prestigious. It's just like the FA Cup was just a huge deal. It's played in Wembley. I mean, it's just a big deal, right? And again, unfair comparison, but I wish the prestige was there. You know, and I am one of those casual fans myself who didn't really appreciate the history and the depth of the U.S. Open Cup until I was exposed to someone like Clay, who really taught me the history. You know, Clay from the, you know, pharmaceutical podcast, Clay Tranum, who really, you know, sort of highlighted, hey, this goes back a long time. You know, this is a really cool thing. And here's some cool things that happen. And, you know, go check out the Nashville, you know, soccer archive. He's a big history nut and knows a lot about the U.S. Open Cup. And I learned a lot just talking with him. So I gained a deeper appreciation. I have a deeper love for it now. I just wish it was more, more prestigious. All right, John, what do you got?
Yep. And I agree. And to add to that, I didn't know about it until we played in as a USL team. I knew MLS. I knew USL. I had no idea about this Open Cup thing. So uncomfortable truths. We talked about the good of the subs. I got to ask a question. Do we have a goaltending issue? I don't know. So here's my thing. Panico let in a goal in each game. Now, again, the Onby goal was great. The Diego Rubio goal was great. Like, now, if he had positioned a little more to his right, he probably could have stopped that. Like, it would have been stoppable, but depending on the goalie's positioning. But someone could have, but then you leave the hole. Anyway, so I'm not arguing that. The only reason I bring that up is I think it was great that he started the USL thing because I think it gives Joe a break. We saw a heavily rotated side. Blah, blah, blah. But my thing is, at least from what I've seen with Gary, Gary has not really been a let's play the young guys to get him experience. Let's do what we can to do that. Gary is always taking the most pragmatic way to win a game. Yeah. Even when we saw, like we used to joke about Matt LaGrasse, if Matt LaGrasse comes in, the game's shutting down.
That's it. I can go to the car. It's done.
Right. Yeah. You go to the car. It's over because that's what he's there to do is just possess and shut it down and rest all the starters. Like, no offense, Matt LaGrasse, a great guy. Loved what he did.
I love him. I wish nothing good for
him. But that was just a sign of like, oh, game over. LaGrasse is in. We're good to go. It's just what it is. So I wonder, Gary's never been one to do this, yet Panico started a regular season game. Now, I know we have paid enough to keep him around that we indicate like he is the future. We've talked about this. He is the real backup over Brian Meredith, even though he wasn't called up to our squad. So does that mean there's more to it? It raises questions in my mind because, again, I have not seen – we've talked about this big Loba thing and seen how little playing time he's gotten. And here we are, and we just – Panico gets a full game and goes for it. Now, again, full game for a goalie, the timing's different, the time they play and the effort. But I just think it's kind of weird, and it makes me wonder and question if there's more going on or if there's more to that plan or, you know, what's going on. Again, I don't have enough to back this up other than – I have never seen Gary follow this pattern, and I didn't hear he talked about some stuff, but it was all generic platitudes as to why this occurred. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of makes me wonder. I don't know. That's my uncomfortable truth, is that it, or at the very least, this move by Gary has left this door open, and now the question is hanging out there. And maybe it's just to motivate Joe, but it does make it a little more awkward because it's in the public forum, you know?
I followed Tony Miola and some of the other guys on Sirius XM. I'll talk a little bit about the VAR, but goaltending, from what I understand from just learning from what they talk about, is very much mental. My only counter to that is that maybe Joe's mental state after, especially the, sort of the poor play that he had, let's be honest, it was poor play. Mm-hmm. He just needed a break. Matt Pickens, back in the USL days, was always going to be in goal. We never had a question, unless he was hurt or just physically just exhausted. He was always going to be in goal. You know, so I don't know. I don't have enough data on how Gary works with goaltenders to know. But it seems like Matt Pickens is the goaltending coach, and maybe Matt is advising Gary's like, "Hey, Joe needs a break." Maybe that's what happened. I don't know, but I think the question's out there, though, that, I think that's a fair question to ask.
And the other point I'll bring up to steal another bit from Clay is he brought in his Everton illustration about Pickford. He went off on it on the podcast. But he brings up a good point of, with a goaltender, like with Meredith, we knew Meredith was not the starter unless Joe was injured or something happened. Right. There was no question there. So bringing in someone who might be competition for him, does it spur him on? Does it make him better or want to, you know, maybe not. But all I'm saying is, now that this has happened, it's kind of a lingering question out there. Maybe that's the motivation. Maybe that was the point. But it's just an interesting tidbit, and it's a little bit of uncomfortableness out there. And I'm sure it'll work out. I'm sure the team, the coaches and the team will be better off whatever the outcome is. But it's just a little bit of uncomfortable truth that's now out there.
Yeah, I like it. All right, that was a pretty heavy segment, pretty existential questions. But let's get into something a little lighter. John, who or what needs to get off our pitch? There was a coin flip before the podcast, and of course I won, so I'll go first. Yeah, sure. You're looking at me like there was.
That's
a thing that happens? Yeah, you just don't know about it.
So is that like the coin flip before the soccer game was first? That
the soccer
anything?
Moses coin flip that it was never broadcast and no one ever saw.
I know.
Yeah. So my get off the pitch goes to whatever junior high school camera operator they paid $20 to at the USL game at Louisville to operate the one camera they had that seemed to focus on Steven Robinson's butt for a good 5, 10, too many seconds during the breaks. I love Steven. I don't need to see his stupid millennial tight jeans, like on my TV. I don't like it. It made me uncomfortable, John. And when we were watching the action, there's cameras shaking so much. They need to have a trigger warning because I was getting nauseous from just the vibration of the camera. John, my red card, my get off the pitch goes to the pimple faced Accutane smelling chump who was operating the one camera at Lou City during the Open Cup match. John, what do you have?
I'm just dying. That was a special rant, and I would like to enter this Memorial Day in chisel it in stone of the day we talked about Steven Robinson's butt on our podcast.
Seriously, like go back. You watch. Film. Watch it. Tell me that this person is either like obsessed with Steven or this. There were more. And if I was a Lou City supporter, right? If I was like, there was like at least 5,000 people there not supporting Nashville, and all the camera shots were of the Nashville supporters. Like I would be furious.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Anyway, that's my guff.
That was good.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, so my get off the pitch. Well, you know, we've played a lot of games recently. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of work. We've done a lot of legwork. My get off the pitch still goes to the fact that. What time did this game start on Saturday, Colorado?
8 o'clock.
Yeah, 8 o'clock. So
ish.
So once again, yeah, eight-ish. Yes. Mine goes to that specific late starts, the Western Conference. We talked about those. Mm. But I like that ish part you just hit on. That's very specific. I really hate what seems to be the flexible start times. You know what I mean? We see this every week. It's 6:15-ish with the Fox game. Broadcast a week ago where it started 25 minutes. I think it started at 6:55 for that 6:30 kickoff. Mm-hmm. It's killing me that, and nothing like, I know there's, you can go to someplace and find it, but the start times are just killing me with this unpredictableness and all, and that and the weather. I'm just sitting here. I'm like, when is my game going to start? Why is all this doing it? I'm just trying to follow the game and watch some simple soccer, but no, we got a late game, 25 minutes start later for kickoff, all this jazz.
John, you got snacks. To fix. You've got drinks to prepare. Like, dude, you've got things you got
to
do.
I
want
to go back to the Eastern Conference where we play at 2 p.m. I want to go to 2 p.m. I want a 2 p.m. kickoff.
Yeah.
Also, I want a home game again. It's been too long.
You don't want much, do you, buddy? You don't want much, do you, buddy?
I'm already complaining. I want a home game.
Yeah, you're used to having one every 3 days, and now all of a sudden they're cutting you off.
I know.
Yeah.
We don't play again until the 11th.
I know, right?
That's unacceptable.
I know.
What am I going to do with my life? I'm going to have to be with my family, Eric.
Sucks to be you.
No, there it is. Get off my pitch. I don't want to spend time with my family. Give me
there
more soccer.
There you go. Well, so we will take a break while John finds a divorce lawyer. And when we come back, we are going to preview the next matches coming up because it's going to be a mixture of both international and San Jose. And then we're also going to tell you what we got wrong and wrap it up. So stay with us. And we are back. And John has some feelings about San Jose. So, John, two things. When is the next time a Nashville player is going to suit up and play in an international game? And then when is our next home match?
Well, as it stands now, one, Walker Zimmerman has been called up for the U.S. men's national team, and one, Anibal Godoy has been called up for Panama.
Hmm. Panama! So,
we need to like play that clip.
Panama.
Yeah. I don't know how they don't play that for every match opening. Like, I mean, I know they have a country anthem, but like a national anthem, not a country anthem.
We need to do that.
Like, there's nobody playing.
And poor Anibal will have no context. Like, what the heck that is? Like, what?
Anyway, so on the first, which is Wednesday, 2 days from now, because it is Monday today, we play Morocco in an international friendly. Panama plays Costa Rica for the CONCACAF Nations League, which is something we'll mention in a minute. Then the U.S. plays another international friendly on the 5th against Uruguay, which should be a fun. That should be a good one.
Yeah, that should be good.
Because Uruguay's got a decent team. That'll be this kind of a good World Cup tune-up.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we actually have some CONCACAF Nations League games of our own. But that's actually the next one's against the 10th against Grenada. So we've got three U.S. games before Nashville plays again. Two of them, again, friendlies, which are just nice to play, go out there, tune up for the World Cup. The Nations League, however, that is the thing we won last year against Mexico in the final, right?
Yeah.
So we have a couple games coming up this next month for that, which is going to be interesting because those games go on the next 2 weeks, even though we have a game. So we may be without Walker and Annabelle for a little bit because Panama plays on the 9th as well.
Yeah, truly.
So there will be plenty of international soccer to watch, should you choose to do so.
Yeah, and so we got the Earthquakes coming up on that Saturday. It's going to be – I have yet to go to a Saturday game. This will be my first actual Saturday match I'll be able to go to.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to it.
I may make an appearance for that one because yeah, I've got something going on this coming weekend, but after that, yeah, I might have to go to that. Also, so let's talk about that game against San Jose. I don't have many previews for the US team, do you? Other than we'll watch and see what happens.
Yeah.
Cool. We'll talk about it on the podcast next week because it'll be there to talk about. But I want to whip San Jose. We talked about it last time. Now, they are not as bad as they were last time in the standings. They're still 13th in the West, but 13th in the West. Forget how many teams there are. But they've played some better games recently now that they switched coaches and stuff. I still think that we should have whooped up on them before. I would like to see what we did against Colorado happen.
Okay, let's talk about that.
I think. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So I feel like we should be. We are 3 points behind the pace. This is my thinking about, you know, the TLDR for the entire going into this break is that I feel like we're doing good, but I feel like 25 points is where we should be right now.
Which would be third in the West, technically.
So I feel like that's where we should be. I feel like it's good that we're where we are, but I feel like we can name at least three games where we could have won and we didn't. Right. So Houston, San Jose, and Salt Lake. I think those are three that I could just name right now. Right. That we should have won. So, yes, I would like to just beat the snot out of San Jose Earthquakes at home. I think that's a good one. And then I think we've got the Fightin' Johnny Russells coming in on Father's Day.
Yeah. I was going to say, and honestly, again, those are right now the bottom two teams in the West. So this is, to me, the biggest thing is we are at home, which is great. So hopefully this is the Nashville that shows up and does the work and doesn't play down to our opponents and fiddle around and give them a couple goals or, you know, any of that. Like we do, we need to do work. Now, again, we might be without Godoy and Zimmerman, but we've survived with both of those. I think, you know, now that we have Anungle playing at the level he is, we're three deep at midfield. You know, we've got Mayer playing really well, Romney, Miller playing well, playing good as well. I don't know. English is hard. But, you know, so I think we can survive those and I think we can do well. It'll be interesting to see because I think we need to take 6 points from those. Not partly from what you're saying because of where we are on the table, but I think these are the lowest teams in the West. We need to take points from the teams we should take points from. So that way, if we do play a Seattle, which I know they're lower on the table, but we all anticipate they're going to, you know, we play a Seattle, we play LAFC, who's at the top of the table. If we drop or tie, it's okay. We don't need those points because we've done our due diligence and beaten the teams we should have.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to come back. I mean, Seattle looked great. I mean, Rui Diaz should be playing in Europe. Like if he wasn't as old as he is, I think he would be playing at like an Everton or something. Like he is really good.
And I think the same thing could be said about Morris. I know he did play. He got injured. I have a feeling because of the injury, he's probably not going to go back and get a second chance, but he would probably still be in Europe had he not been injured.
I think there's something else with Morris, and this is obviously a side tangent. I think because he's a diabetic, I think there is a bias against him in the European teams.
Interesting.
I think he won't say that. He won't come out and say that, but I think there's always been a bias against him. And I don't think it's fair. I'm not even a Jordan Morris fan for all intents and purposes, but I feel like there's a bias against him because of his medical condition. But again, I have no evidence to that, but I guess I'm picking that up. But all right, John, let's wrap this up before we get all ranty. VAR, what did we get wrong from last week?
Well, technically, I called them Louisville FC. It's Louisville City.
It's Louisville Bourbon Burps FC. You know what the name of them are. Come on, John.
Bourbon Barrels. You know, that is one thing I wish that we could – I honestly wish they could have been an MLS team so we could have had the Bourbon Barrel Bash every year and play them
that'd
for
be awesome.
Like a barrel. Or like not a barrel, but you know how that – the what do you call it? The headstock, like the head of it, you know, how you can get it engraved or whatever. Like, man, that would have been a cool – thing.
Well, the oldest football rivalry, technically the oldest football rivalry in the SEC is Kentucky and Tennessee, and it is called the Battle of the Barrel. And they do swap, there is supposed to be this barrel that's swapped back and forth, but I think that's been lost to time. But that used to be the oldest SEC rivalry.
That is the only thing I will say that the Big Ten does better than anyone is you have like the, what is it, Minnesota and Wisconsin battle for the giant axe, or the Paul Bunyan's axe or something. Yeah, they have a few of those things where they actually have a trophy. Mm-hmm. That stuff's cool, man. Mm-hmm. That, to me, little things like that, again, are what could lead to more of like an idea to the Open Cup where you have rivalries and things that go back. But, you know, all these franchises, like even Clay mentions, yeah, you can trace Nashville back to the Diamonds and all that stuff. But it's a very loose thing and most fans don't have that. So it's hard to make the connection.
Not yet. But you know what? I'm hopeful for the future. I think that these things will develop. The fact that we're developing a rivalry versus a Louisville and a Cincinnati, hopefully we'll develop mm-hmm. rivalries against St. Louis and Charlotte. Two cities that we can drive to, like we could drive to, yep.
and one against Atlanta. And I think I don't know that Atlanta would quite consider us one. There,
not until we beat them. You talk to, not until we get some hard, like when we get some hardware and we embarrass them in a big stage. Yeah, then we'll be a rival.
Yeah, we consider them one, but yeah, vice versa. Yeah. So anyway.
Oh, and also VAR. It is Jason Davis. Davis, you are the host of United States of Soccer, not Sean Davis. I don't know.
Who is a player on our team.
I'm just old.
All Davises look alike.
Yeah.
Is that what this is?
I'm just old and stupid.
You got your old man eyes on.
All right, John. this one's been a good one. We're going to take a quick break. I guess next Sunday we'll be back.
Maybe if it's a short one, just talk about some international stuff and preview the actual game.
Let's plug the Twitter. That's another thing we got to do.
At GOMP_pod on the Twitters.
At GOMP pod on the Twitters. Got it. John, yes, always a pleasure, my friend. This has been a good one. And we will see you next week, my friend.
See ya.